Humanity has been pushed to the brink in this post-apocalyptic anime adventure as we take a break from monster movies. Look at a series that you might have missed. Can this extremely weird mishmash work as a kaiju series, or is it too unique to categories in the same genre as Kong and Godzilla? Find out along with us as we pilot our robot avatars. This is Kaiju vs. History Decadence.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your spanner-wielding mechanic, Miles, and joining me is a Gadol with a heart of gold, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing quite well, Miles. Doing quite well indeed. How are you?
Pretty good. I've missed you. I feel like I haven't seen you in quite some time.
Oh, boy, yeah. Well, I've been out of the country.
What?
We talked about this. Maybe in the last few episodes, I was gearing up for a trip to Japan, Nihon.
The land responsible for almost every single one of my hobbies.
Oh, man, it's a lot of them. I don't know if you credit them for...
With the exception of American comics, so that's about it.
I was about to say, if you credit them with, like, video games and stuff, it's a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a complete kaiju-centric trip because there's so much more that you can do with a trip to Japan that I push back, or I was telling my wife, like, you know, oh, we'll do that the next time we come back. And she's like,
she's giving you the evil eye.
We're never doing this again. Well, we took 2 weeks. So, I mean, this was
right.
The longest vacation we've taken together, I think. So she's a teacher, so she has off the summer, and I took the most time off from work I've ever taken to really dig into the country. But yeah, before we get into Decadence, I wanted to give you my full kaiju report of Japan from top to bottom. We've talked a little bit, and I you know, sent you stuff via Discord while I was over there, not to make you jealous, but just
I certainly was jealous, but I also was like, you know, yeah, loving that you were having an incredible time.
Well, I was sending Gundam related things to Drew to make him jealous, but we just happened to do a whole bunch of Gundam stuff.
I wasn't seeking
Gundam things, but there's a lot over there.
He's a much bigger Gundam nut than I am. I do love the Gundam franchise, but I've been becoming a big Macross fan this past year. And but before we start talking about Japan, Patrick, you have to tell us, for this country, what's in the title?
Japan?
Give me the etymology of the word Japan.
I think it's what the Portuguese, like, traders called the country before they were, like, allowed entry, because I don't think they, like, that's a word that the Japanese use. They call it Nihon or Nippon over there, but Japan, I think, came from, like, you know, the word for coastline or island or something in Southeast Asian language and that they're trying to trade with. But yeah, I have been studying Japanese for a couple of years to have, like, kind of like a working knowledge of, you know, when we took this trip. And we originally planned it for last year for a 10-year anniversary, but decided to go this year because they are doing the Osaka World's Fair, the Expo,
right?
Which was a lot of fun, and I guess I could talk about.
No kaiju attacked during this one.
No, but that had a Gundam pavilion, like a full, like,
oh, cool
theatrical kind of immersive experience where you go in and you board a space elevator and go up to a space station where Gundams are cleaning up, like, a huge debris field from a battle. And then, like, a battle takes place around the space station. And it's, like, you know, it's made up to be, like, the windows of the space station. And it's actually, like, the, like, 20 giant screens. Oh, and, like, it, not 360, but, like, 280. Like, three of four walls are these panels that are showing the outside battle.
reminds me of there's a, it's not really a ride, but a experience mm-hmm. at Disney that's kind of like that, where you go up a space elevator and mm-hmm. I think you can have dinner up there and stuff. But you
yes,
you're in space.
That's at Epcot. It's a very yes. similar thing. And
is it Cafe 2020 or something, what they call it?
I've not been, but the ride up to the space elevator was the least interesting part. It was very interesting when they got to a Gundam battle and you're seeing, you know, a whole bunch get destroyed all around you. But anyway, I'm here to talk about kaiju, not giant robos, Miles. And I don't think I had planned it, but I'm pretty sure I went to 5 different Godzilla stores while I was in Japan.
How could you not?
There were a couple of just Ultraman stores, which I was very interested in.
Oh, and cool. Were there any Super Sentai stores?
There was.
I completely broke down and forgot to ask you to look for anything Super Sentai, but that would have been an insane task.
Well, in Kyoto, I didn't go, but there is a Toei, amusement sick. Park, which has a lot of Super Sentai stuff. But there's so many malls that have right next to each other, usually a Godzilla or a Gundam store, a Ghibli store. And I actually saw more One Piece stores called Mushigawari stores. I think we went to 7 of those. We just seeing them. So that's how popular that franchise still is. But we saw easily 30,000 different gachapon machines. We saw so many gachapon because there was places that were this has 3,000, this has 5,000 gachapon. And I was actually pretty bummed about the kaiju gachapon. There was just not as many as I thought there would be. I did buy stuff from almost every single one that I came across. And the one that I really enjoyed was there's a Godzilla versus Mothra 2, the Heisei one that had Batra and had a couple other cool figures in it. Only 2 Gamera gachapon that I saw in the entirety of Japan, which is a major bummer for me. Obviously, I'm a big Gamera fan.
Right. Hey, at least there's 2 out there.
In general, just not a lot of Gamera, merchandise. I got to Gibara where I got to see some old stuff, but obviously the really only things that I saw was the Gamera Netflix TV show figures. They had those in toy stores. I found a Toys R Us in Japan, which was so fun. I was like, oh man, we're going in there. besides that, a whole bunch of statues, obviously, and some other very fun kaiju related things. But the first day in Japan, and I've sent you some photos and I sent them while we were there as well. The first day we were in Japan was the last day of the Mori Art Museum Godzilla exhibit. So it's this, 6 months of this art exhibit. And this was the last day of the show. So I was like, oh my goodness, the timing is so, so perfect for this. And it's a bunch of, statues of Godzilla and street art and other fun, dioramas of miniatures, and has some pretty wacky, cool representations of kaiju in there. I really appreciated that. Not a huge exhibit. It was 5 rooms or so, but we went through that. Took a ton of photos there. I bought the art book, and spoiler warning, I bought a shirt there I thought was going to fit me, and it doesn't. So you're getting that shirt. A unplanned present for you.
Love to hear it.
I was about to say, I don't know anyone else who would want this Godzilla shirt. So we stayed in Ginza, which is about a 10-minute walk from the Ginza Toho Cinema's Godzilla statue, which I believe I sent you a picture of.
You did.
We went there 9 a.m. or something. And it's a Shin Godzilla statue that's outside in the plaza of the building. There's a lot of Shin Godzilla while we were over there in general. But the other thing we saw outside was we got to the Kabibashi kitchen district of Tokyo and saw Jumbo Cook, the robot from Monster Seafood Wars.
Right.
Was that last week? We did Monster. Yes. That was so cool. It was very huge in real life. And the first Godzilla store was one of the best, was relatively small, but really good, in Shibuya. Had one of my favorite statues. It had just a millennial looking Godzilla statue. It was on like the seventh floor, I think, of the Parco shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
Day four, I got to the Gundam store in the Gundam base store in Odaiba, where they have the giant unicorn Gundam statue. And I only mention this because I guess seeing that in pictures, I always assumed the building behind it was like 3 stories tall. It is 6 stories tall, and it's like as big as this building. It's like a giant mall.
Which is great because it really does scale how big these giant mechs are.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'll talk about it later, but like Kaiju are like so much larger than mm-hmm. Gundam. It was pretty cool to see something one-to-one in real life. And yeah, that they just opened up a new Godzilla store at the Odaiba, which I think is like a floor below or the same floor as the Gundam base store, but it's the largest that I've seen in Japan. And I wish I'd spent more money there, but what I did spend a good amount of money on was they have the largest gachapon machine,
which
has like giant statues in it. And I pulled a little Mecha G.
That's awesome.
Figurine. You can buy different versions of this series online, and the other I would have liked any of them. I have such a big Mecha G collection because of like Gachapon.
Mm-hmm. But how much does a typical Gachapon cost?
I would say the average over there was 400 yen. There's okay. a lot that are 300 yen. So we're talking about for 300 yen, that's like $1.80, maybe $2.40 for 400 yen.
So that Mecha G you have right in your hands is
this was like you have to go get a token from the
so that's like what
20 bucks I think for, 20 bucks, yeah. for the statue. But they had like a Hetero one, a Shin Godzilla one, but this was this whole gacha was unique to that store. So all of the Godzilla stores across Japan have like unique merchandise that's only in that one store. So I was hunting for those once I found that out. I got some. This was definitely the best, is this giant gacha. Yeah, and then that same day in Odaiba, we went to the Small Worlds exhibit where there was a amazing Neon Genesis Evangelion display room of Tokyo 3. It first had like underneath the city where it shows like miniatures of the EVAs like being launched up, and then have like there's a whole did I send you the video? I forget if I sent
you said the you have video to show me, but it's too long for Discord.
Yes. So
but the pictures were incredible.
The pictures are pretty cool. The video of it, like it has the entire city and like, you know, the huge cross section that mm-hmm. like disappears below ground. It has like a 5-minute sequence of like alarms going off and then like the buildings being sucked underground. And then once they go down, it reveals like to an EVA and a monster fighting in like the background of the display. It was very fun. I saw several people at the museum with EVA Evangelion shirts on that were really enjoying that exhibit.
I just love the look of these miniature cities. I think they look so cool. And
mm-hmm.
I would love to have something like that in a home, but also like the Kaiju nerd desire to stomp on one of these things.
Well, you know, one of the best parts of that museum was at the end, you actually walk through their workshop and you can see the miniaturists that work in this museum working and like putting stuff together. And that's it was so
awesome.
It was so cool. It was, you know, one of the best kind of tokusatsu elements of the trip, and one that I can't recommend enough. It was like $12 for a ticket to this museum.
Oh, that's awesome.
We spent hours there. And yeah, we went to Osaka on the second week of the trip, the World's Fair, the Gundam exhibit. But we went to Osaka Castle on a day that we were supposed to go to Kyoto, but we kind of canceled that trip. And it just so happened there was a Japanese toy museum exhibit in like an adjoining building to Osaka Castle. We saw signs walking into the park, and on the sign were Godzilla, Evangelion, Gamera toys.
Do you like these things?
I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, yeah, we're going to that immediately after. And we did. It was great. It was in the basement of this museum building and it was huge. It was, you know, like 5 rooms of probably 20 to 30 displays in each room of, I guess they're not toys. Most of them were model kits of these features. And it was everything. It was like anime, It was giant robots. It was kaiju. But I think the pictures I sent, there was Shin Ultraman statues in there and a lot of fun Godzilla and Gamera miniatures. Yeah,
Shin Ultraman statues looked great. The one of him flying is just a very, very cool.
Yeah. I realize I'm gonna have to share these all on social media. I feel like we're just talking about all these pictures I'm showing you, but that was fun. That was something, you know, I feel like I did so much Googling in my advance to this trip. I can't believe that.
Like you need to.
Well, I'm surprised that this didn't come up. I was very much researching like both anime and Aiju kind of museum exhibits to see what existed. Mm-hmm. And this one just never showed up. I guess because it was just general toys. But like I said, there was like a whole room of kaiju. So I'm glad I saw it. The Osaka Godzilla store had a Godzilla minus one statue in it and was one of my favorites of the stores. There's a Kyoto Godzilla store that had a Heisei statue in front of it. And there's also like a 1954 Godzilla statue in the lobby. And the one I was most excited about was when we went back to Tokyo, the Shinjuku Godzilla store. It was actually the smallest, but it did have the widest selection of t-shirts. All the rest of them kind of had the same, like, I would say 10 to 20 designs, but some of them were just kids shirts. So it really wasn't that many, but the Shinjuku store specifically had maybe 30 adult t-shirt designs. So it had a lot, and there's some interesting ones. Unfortunately, there was not like a ton in my size. Where did have shirts in my size was the lobby of the Hotel Gracery Shinjuku, AKA known as the Godzilla Hotel, because it has a giant Godzilla head on the eighth floor, kind of peeking over the balcony. This is great. So we you know, planned the golden route to go from Tokyo to Osaka and then back to Tokyo to fly out. And so we're only staying in Tokyo one day at the end of the trip. So we splurged for the penthouse suite of the Hotel Gracery, which they have now two rooms that are their Godzilla kind of like special effects rooms with Godzilla statues. There's a button that you press and like sound effects go off. The room dims, sound effects go off, Godzilla roars, and like your bed shakes.
That's so fun.
Every footstep, the bed is shaking. I said to my wife, I was like, this is how we're waking up in the morning. We're pressing the button.
I'm sure your wife was not thrilled about that suggestion.
But yeah, maybe by accident, the 30th floor of this building is about the height that Godzilla would be at. So these pictures I took out the window are he's like 150 meters in a lot of, I guess, more modern adaptations of like Shin Godzilla or the legendary one is about that height. The 30th floor is almost the exact height that Godzilla would have stomping around. So that was another fun little thing. Once I realized that, I was like, oh, these pictures are like from Godzilla's POV almost. The pictures out the window. The hotel was amazing. Like I said, the eighth story has the Godzilla head, and I think maybe every few hours it does like a special effects show where smoke comes out of it, and there are speakers in the road leading up to the hotel, which I think is called Godzilla Road, that like play the music, play sound effects, and it was crazy. The room was crazy. The hotel was crazy. I don't know if I can recommend the special effects rooms because they were kind of pricey, but the other rooms, there's tons that you can get that are by like the 9th, 10th, and 11th floor where you have like a view of the Godzilla head. Those are definitely probably worth it because I don't think those are a lot more than a standard room in the hotel. So there are a ton of people there, you know, like me, that were very excited about the Godzilla theme of the hotel. Right. I got a lot of compliments on the Godzilla shirts I was wearing. I took two or three Godzilla shirts over to Japan. I'm wearing my Versus Biollante shirt.
I've got that shirt as well. From was it Cami Cobblers?
Yeah. The first day we were in Japan, we went to Tokyo Tower of Mothra fame, Mothra Destruction fame. And one of the attendants, when we got to the top, pointed out my shirt and said, Biollante. I was like, yeah, I will hold that memory cherished in my memory banks for many years. But I got a lot of compliments on Godzilla shirts. But yeah, the entire journey to Japan was very, very awesome. Obviously, we did a lot more stuff besides Godzilla stores. But I was just so surprised there was so much Ultraman stuff. Like when we go to toy stores, there was almost more Ultraman stuff than there was Godzilla, which was, you know, I guess not surprising.
That didn't surprise me. Ultraman's so pure.
But yeah, we only found like one or two like Ultraman specific stores.
Did you see any Kamen Rider stores? I figured that would be pretty plentiful.
Yes, there was one or two as well. But yeah, I maybe I was just more going out of my way for Godzilla stores. So if I had been searching for Ultraman, there are probably more. But also a lot of Evangelion in general, more than I would have imagined.
That doesn't surprise me. That thing has been a perennially popular in 95 since 95 in both the US and in Japan. Like that's just one of those things that never goes away.
And yeah, despite maybe not being as popular over there, I saw some street art and a lot of maybe not Kong specific, but a lot of giant apes kind of hanging around the city. A lot of themed things that are giant apes as well. So a lot of fun kaiju things to experience while you're over there. Obviously, I don't even think I scratched the surface because there's the whole Godzilla museum / theme park in Awaji Island we didn't get to.
Like did y'all go to any of the theme parks?
Yeah, we went to Universal Studios Japan, which has got a big Super Mario World,
right?
Harry Potter World, but it's like it's pretty much the exact. It's actually a little, I guess, less than the Harry Potter in Universal in Florida now because they just opened up a whole new section there.
But yeah, well, they've got three. They've got the one in Iowa, and then they have the Diagon Alley in the proper park, and now they have a whole Harry Potter world in the Epic Universe park that they just opened up.
That just opened up, yeah.
Which I hear the Universal Monsters Dark Universe Frankenstein Dark Ride is like legit incredible.
There are some other, there's a theme park, I want to say maybe the south side of Osaka or outside of Osaka, that is like a Showa era kind of theme park. So it's like 1950s themed, but that is where there's one of the immersive Godzilla kind of like 4D rides that they have.
Oh yeah, didn't the director of Minus One just do one of those?
Yes. So there's that we didn't get to. So there's like so much stuff that you can still kind of dig into.
Is that the part that has the zip line into Shin Godzilla's mouth?
No, that's a different one. That, like I said, that's on Awaji Island, which is about an hour's bus ride from Osaka. So it's one of the reasons I didn't go is like, you know, that would have been like almost an entire day just to get out there for a museum, which was probably pretty cool, but would have been a little expensive for like you can get like a ultra ticket, which gives you like a Godzilla like jacket and like a bag and stuff, like a backpack. But I don't think maybe it's worth it. If I go back to Japan, I'd try to get out there. But like I said, the Mori Art Museum, that first day we were in Japan, that was already like so much awesome Godzilla art that we got to see.
Did you get to enjoy any high-tech toilets?
Well, thank you for asking about my bathroom experiences. Every single toilet in Japan is
like next level.
Yeah, has like computer chips in it. It was wild. And there's just so many that you sit down on and I'm just not ready for it personally, but there were so many that were heated seats. So you sit down and they're not warm, they're hot. They're like, and maybe that's not what I want in July.
I don't mind being, that's fair. I don't mind being comfortable. I mean, I'm sure there's a knob somewhere that you could possibly change that. I don't know.
I will say I've not really used showers or bidets like that ever in my life. And at first I was resistant, but at the end of the trip or when I got back to United States, I was like,
what are these primitives doing?
Why don't we have this?
Right.
But yeah, there's very fun trip, a lot of food, a lot of fun, a lot of tourist things, but also some, you know, we just wandered around Tokyo. We went to like all the major kind of hubs, all the places around the Yamanote line. And like I said, probably like 30,000 different gachapon machines. We really we went out of our way to find some of the biggest gachapon stores and probably spent $100 in gacha over the course of the 2 week trip, most of which I'm going to be sending to you. I've got a lot to send to you because I already had from like Christmas time, like a box I was going to send to you of stuff like dupes and things that I have. So now you're getting, and your fiance, even more stuff in the mail.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Yeah. So
is it here yet?
I wish. It's going to be slightly delayed because there's like bits and things we have to still get together. But
gotcha.
I'm stoked to, we'll have to go through it on an episode.
I would absolutely love to
crack it open. There's so much kaiju stuff in there. Speaking of kaiju stuff, should we get into decadence? Should we talk this?
Yeah, if we gotta.
The show, quote unquote, what I thought was a TV show, but if you look it up on IMDb, it now says miniseries. And I don't know if that was their original intention, but
it could be. It could just be one of those things where, like, it's a single season of television. It's like 12 episodes long, which is, it tends to be like one of my favorite flavors of anime. Now, while I am a big anime fan and I watch, you know, every genre, I typically watch a lot of like slice of life high school romance stuff, like Toradora, Just Because, or Re:Life, or something like that, or you. But I do watch plenty of my fair share of genre stuff. And this one had completely escaped me. I had never heard of it when it popped onto our list. And I was like, how did I not hear about a kaiju-centric anime?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd not seen it.
And having watched some episodes, now I know.
Yeah, you know, I've written in my notes here, it is kind of a kaiju action mix of Attack on Titan and...
Yeah, it's definitely has an AOT vibe.
A Mortal Engines, which I don't, it's another hilariously,
yeah,
another,
yeah, no, it totally does,
property that completely slipped through the cracks, but I enjoyed the movie.
Haven't seen it.
It was a Peter Jackson produced film and it just bombed.
Oh, did he not direct it?
I don't think so. I want to say it was somebody else, but it completely bombed.
Yes, it did.
Because I don't think people really knew what to make of it. But yeah, 2018, it was directed by Christian Rivers. We're not here to talk about that film, but it is about, in a kind of like a post-apocalyptic setting, giant cities on tank tracks, you know? So it's very much like the city decadence, or the tank of decadence itself.
It looks like Christian Rivers has worked on like almost, I think, every single Peter Jackson movie since Braindead in 92.
Yeah. So they're keeping it in the family. Like I said, I really enjoyed that movie. And so I think when I saw the trailer for this series, I was like, oh, cool. They're doing kind of an anime version of that. But it is a little bit more than that because we do have kaiju in, you know, in the gadols of this series. Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect when starting this up. Definitely some pretty cool artwork. I think that's one thing that kind of sucked me in at first. And I suppose I wasn't a huge fan of Attack on Titan, but this has kind of got like more of a, not steampunk, but like a post-apocalyptic punk
version. It's got, I guess you would say more diesel punk kind of situation.
Yeah. So our main character is at first like a mechanic in the series, and then wants to become a I hate using the Attack on Titan terminology, but basically the light infantry of this universe, where, you know, I don't think we'd figure out by the end of the series what exactly the Gadols are, but they're like monstrified versions of like actual creatures for the most part. There's some that are, I don't know, maybe they're like weird little bugs or something, but they are completely out there. But what did you think about the designs in this series?
I thought they were fine. They weren't necessarily bad. I did like some of the, like, where they have like the one kind of bird creature that shoots the spines out of its back.
Yeah.
In the first episode, I thought that was pretty neat. I certainly thought they were fun. When you got to like the proper kaiju sized, I was pretty underwhelmed by the design. Yeah. I saw.
It's like big shells. There's like a kind of like a whale inspired one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are some interesting ideas. I don't know if they're incredibly executed, but yeah, they were fine. What about you? Are you kind of in the same page as me, or were you more impressed?
What's so funny? This week and next, we have mishmash kind of kaiju post-apocalyptic settings, and this one does the same thing where it's like basically giant monsters of all sizes, and it makes sense. The universe, I think. You know, why they have a giant tank city that's moving around, maybe because there's always these like this horde of monsters out in the world around them, kind of giving chase or coming to attack. But yeah, it's the same thing with Attack on Titan. It's like the world itself didn't grab me as much, but I do like the designs in this a little bit more. It does feel like I don't know. It's definitely taken a good amount from its inspiration. You know, at this point, Attack on Titan was like very much near the end. I think it only had like the final season. So this is pretty much the height of kind of as popular as Attack on Titan was going to get in 2020. It came out in 2013. And when were the live action movies? Like 2018, I think 2015. It was earlier.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was 15.
Wow, those movies came out real close after the start of the series. Very very popular action style, so it does ape that a little too much for my taste. I don't know about you, but
yeah, I felt the same way. I mean, so we meet kind of our protagonist as a very little girl who has stowed away on a looks to be an exploratory mission, mm-hmm. I guess. And there is a kaiju, a Gadol attack. And we're led to believe that she has woken, but had lost her arm. And mm-hmm. we're left to believe that her parents are gone. Her mm-hmm. dad's gone. And then we fast forward to her being, looks maybe about 14, 15-ish. And she's trying to be a soldier, who are the ones that go out and fight the Gadol. But because of her prosthetic, no one is giving her a shot. And so mm-hmm. she is integrated to clean the outer shell of the Decadence, the giant moving base.
Yes, Dekadansu. And it's a pretty cool design. It is like a giant, like two giant outstretched hands. And we find out in the first episode, it has like a defensive, you know, laser attack, basically, that it does very.
And a rocket punch.
Yes. Very super dimensional fortress style kind of. But like I said, a little more gear punk ish.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy the concept. Obviously, this is kind of kaiju adjacent because it's not necessarily about the giant monsters themselves. It is much more about kind of the mystery of this world and the kind of like cyborg bodies that are used to keep Decadence, you know, running and things. And you have these little kind of robot or cybernetic creatures as well. There's a lot going on, a bit too much, I would say. And I love post-apocalyptic fiction in general. That's one thing that's...
I think on paper, this is way more interesting than it is, or as the show is. Like, the show, and that doesn't seem to be based on a manga or a young adult light novel.
So this was put together by Nut Animation, and this was their attempt to have a completely, you know, new conceptual idea, like new IP, basically. So not mm-hmm. not basing it on any pre-existing manga or you know, anime series. They had done Yojo Senji. They had done a Fooly Cooly show, I think, before this. But yeah, this was, I think, their original original project, the Decadence project. And I say original, but like I said, it is it is after Mortal Engines came out, and it is after Attack on Titan. And those are like obviously two huge influences on it, to the point where obviously if you are a fan of either of those, I think you'll find something to enjoy in this very small series. Some pretty good voice acting. Was the version you watched in the original Japanese? Because I think there is a dub out there as well.
I watched the dub.
Oh, okay. Where did you watch this? I'm just
Crunchyroll. Wondering.
Crunchyroll has it right now. Yeah, I think.
And Hulu also has it dubbed.
I was about to say, I thought I saw it on Hulu at one point.
It's on both.
I think that's where I must have originally started watching the episodes. Because I don't think I had Crunchyroll at the time when this came out originally in 2020. And I want to say it did come out in the U.S. as well, like later in the year. Oh, Funimation announced it, an English dub, in August of 2020. So they're pretty fast. But like I said, I think because that's when we were starting talk about doing this podcast. I think when it came out, they were still potentially planning for a season two, but for whatever reason, maybe it just didn't connect with audiences that much. You would think, you know, in pandemic time when people were just consuming anything and everything media wise, that this would have a bit better of a shot. But like I said, they seem to have rebranded it in a few places as a mini series. And I don't know if that is me misremembering, you know, what their original plans were for this, but it has been a while since I've seen it. And I don't think I ever finished the series, but I'm pretty sure it's not like completely wrapped up. I'm pretty sure they leave some open-ended questions in the show. So take that with a grain of salt if you would like to watch Decadence. Yeah, we don't really rate TV shows, and this is more of a mini series, but it is about the equivalent amount of time as the Godzilla anime movies. You know, those three movies were about like 10 to 12 episodes of an anime.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I've seen of this more than that movie. So take that with. Like I said,
I mean, that is not a tall order.
Yeah. Crunchyroll has this pretty highly rated on its website, 4.6 out of 5 stars. IMDb has, I think, probably a closer representation. I think what fans will think, a 7 out of 10 on IMDb. I'd be around there. I'd be like six or seven for like a suggesting this to people. But like I said, this episode and this show is just a little side adventure for if you want something different in giant monster kind of TV shows.
Yeah. And I mean, I think my problem with this is like, it falls into a lot of the trappings. Like it certainly wants to be what's the word I'm looking for? Not a widespread hit, but it certainly wants to be completely accessible. It wants to be, you know, it wants to be the next Attack on Titan really bad. And it including like very bad, like attempts at humor. There's a lot of stereotypical, like, oh, here's the bully character. A lot of the ancillary characters that you first meet don't have a lot of meat on those bones, even at the beginning. And then the twist kind of in the second episode where the first episode kind of like just gives you the post-apocalyptic universe.
Yeah.
The second episode also adds the whole cyborg avatar situation that frankly
it's just one thing too many. Yeah,
that's something you introduce kind of more immediately, I think, because like the first episode I was like, okay, I'm not loving it, but I'm interested, and then all of a sudden we go immediately off the rails into almost like we're in post-apocalyptic, and now we're just adding some like weird cyberpunk elements that don't quite mesh with what's going on in this kind of Mad Max kaiju world.
Well, it's the same thing with Attack on Titan. I think if they had portrayed that more as what it is, which is kind of like a post-apocalyptic world where they've just kind of reset into more of a fantasy life, I might have been more interested. But that is kept as a secret well late into the show that it takes place basically on Madagascar. if memory serves, and like they've completely isolated the Titan problem to Madagascar in the Attack on Titan universe. Spoilers for Attack on Titan anime or manga that's been out for over a decade. But yeah, this at the very least. Like I said, I don't think they really explain what's going on in the rest of the world, but...
And I think that's why you really haven't heard too much about it, is it doesn't really take advantage or execute super well any of its main things. It's not that great of a post-apocalyptic story. It's not that great of a kaiju story. And it's not... No. It's probably the most interesting when it's a cyberpunk story, but the problem is that cyberpunk story is such a curveball that you're kind of left feeling sour about it. And so you have you just have like this kind of kitchen sink approach that just doesn't quite work. And it's unfortunate because there's a really good concept involved here.
Yeah. Like I said, fun, inventive in a lot of ways, but more of a pastiche the more you kind of watch it. But like I said, I feel like if you like the influences of the show, and I really did, I enjoyed Mortal Engines, this is worth watching because it's only 12 episodes and they're likely not making any more. So yeah, you know, we've watched a lot of TV, kaiju kind of TV for the series as just an asides episodes, but this is obviously still way below kind of Evangelion in my own personal opinion, but for the most part beyond a lot of other, you know, a lot of the other Kong TV shows or Godzilla TV shows that we've watched so far. But yeah, that's mostly because, like I said, it is pretty great animation and voice acting and things like that. And that just, you know, because it came out like 5 years ago at this point, I just feel like it's one of the most up to date things we've seen. But yeah, I'm glad we did talk about it at least a little bit. But yeah, I think we should wrap it up. I probably did talk more about Japan in this episode, so I don't know how I'm going to title this, but that's going to do it for us here.
Patrick's decadent Japan talk.
Decadence from Japan. Yeah, I didn't live very decadently over there. It's pretty cheap.
I was going to ask you how the food was and everything.
Well, I was about to say I went in with all the intentions of doing a omakase, you know, expensive sushi kind of dinner at one point, but we went to Sushi Row, which is like, you know, the fast food of sushi where you like order on a screen and it comes in a little conveyor belt to you, and that was so good. I was like, oh, this is
like an old school Autobahn situation.
It was great, and it was like, you know, small bites. It was like two pieces of sushi for like, you know, a couple bucks each, so yeah. Obviously the two of us ordered like 20 plates. We were just going through the menu. We went through one. And it's like, I can still eat a little bit more. Let's do another order. We went a couple of times. So I was pretty happy with that experience and all kinds of weird stuff. They had tempura fried mozzarella bites, which were very good.
I've actually had, there's a place here that's done that before.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Small to the point where you can actually eat them in one bite. And I was like, we should do mozzarella sticks like this. I don't like having a big long stick.
I mean, I don't mind it, but because it feels like you're just kind of you're eating a fried, you know, string cheese, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
I love cheese bites.
And the tempura batter on it was much nicer. It was very crisp and light by comparison. So that's going to do it for us. I will try to post some photos on our Blue Sky social media. I don't think they'll be on the website, but Blue Sky or in our Discord channel. Yeah, and we thank you guys for joining up. We had a few fans who have wanted to chat with us a little bit more, and like I said, I normally do post more there, but for the last few weeks I've been in another country, so I'll try to get some pictures up there. In the meantime, we've had some emails come in. Thank you for those as well. I promised to read one of them, so maybe this episode's gonna go a little long, but we've had a couple of emails from Eric. Thank you for chatting. He emailed in and talked, said he was first time emailer, been listening since November 2023. Zarkor was his first episode. I'm so sorry. Don't take my joke. I've been waiting weeks to say that. But yeah, he says his dad got him into kaiju when he was 7. He remembers watching Gamera, Guardian of the Universe, and yeah, he's been listening for the last couple of years, and he says, quote, I'm stoked you guys are considering kaiju shorts. Not sure if these are on your radar, but Senko Roll is an anime short film I'd classify under the kaiju genre. And the other one he suggested here is the first Digimon movie is essentially three shorts, and one of them is like a kaiju battle. Well, Eric, thank you so much for the email. We responded to an email, but said that we were he asked if also we were going to do the Shin Ultraman movie, if that is on our list for season 8, and it is. Miles and I both saw it in theaters and had a very good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It came out while we were doing the show, so I was surprised we didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah, I think we were just going to wait at that time because, you know, because Ultraman is, I mean, tokusatsu is very, you know, kaiju oriented, but it's its own thing. But because you have a single self-contained film, although I keep hearing rumors that Keanu wants to do like an Ultra 7 movie or another like Ultra trilogy.
Or like a series, right? Wasn't he? Or maybe I'm thinking of Shin Kamen Rider.
I know he wants to do those. And that now there's rumors of a Shin Godzilla sequel. So we will see.
Yeah.
But I'm you're not going to have to twist my arm to watch some tokusatsu stuff. We're not watching Shin Kamen Rider, are we?
No.
I didn't think so.
I mean, there's not kaiju in it, right?
There's not really. No, there's not. And yeah. Although it might technically be the best of the trilogy.
Yeah.
Although spoiler warning for a little while away, but I'm a big fan of Shin Ultraman, and I can't wait to revisit that.
Yeah.
Because I felt like watching, when I watched Kamen Rider, that was my favorite, but I also remember feeling that Shin Ultraman was extremely special. So also want to thank everyone who has emailed us, but join the Discord. We've had a bunch of new folks pop in and talk kaiju with us, and that has been extremely fun.
Yep. So, but yeah, email, Discord. We are on Blue Sky at Kaiju Versus History. Yeah, we've posted it on the Discord a few times in this last week, but our letterboxed account, you can also interact with and see our star ratings in 5-star format. We do 10-star on the podcast, but obviously you can do half stars there, so have the same kind of rating system. You can see our upcoming films that we're going to be doing that are kind of on the list, and everything that we've watched so far. Right, so that's going to do it. Miles, what are we doing next week? We're back to films, right?
We are. Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we look at another kaiju monster apocalypse film, and one that squeaked away in the height of the pandemic. Will a romantic comedy set against the background of a cold-blooded but kawaii-eyed kaiju fest work, or are we frog food? Tune in next time for History Versus Love and Monsters.